My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert. He represents his state's 1st Congressional District. He is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he is a former judge in the state of Texas. We want to get his thoughts on a number of developing issues from the past week, including immigration, the debt ceiling, as well as Obamacare. And, sir, thanks so much for being with us.
Certainly. Always good to talk to you.
Let's start with immigration. Where exactly do we stand on this in the House of Representatives? We heard about the principles at the retreat. Then Speaker Boehner said just a number of days ago that we can't trust the president, so we don't trust him to enforce, I guess, border security provisions and other aspects of the bill he might not be as excited about as some other provisions. And then Eric Cantor, the majority leader, says this is going to be a huge priority for us in 2015. So what's the state of this debate in the House right now, specifically among your party?
Well, I think the debate should remain where it is, and that is that as soon as the president secures the border, don't accept promises, don't do new legislation. The president has the money, the manpower, the technology. So the president secures the border, and as soon as the states that are on the border unanimously agree that the border is secure, then we can move forward immediately with an immigration reform bill. There's a lot of things that need reform, but until the border is secured, it's silly to take things up. And in fact, it's worse than that. It lures people across the deserts. Some died trying to cross to get in. It lures people to become victim of human trafficking. We need to just stop talking about it until the president gets the border secured, and then we can take up an immigration reform bill, and it'll make your head spin how quickly we'll do that once the border is secured.
But where's the leadership on this? It seemed a week or two ago that this was very high priority. Now not so much, but they're suggesting that it will be sooner.
Yeah, the leadership proposed the principles, and then the huge majority, supermajority of our conference, I think, made very clear we can't trust the president to secure the border. So make clear, you secure the border, we'll move forward. And fortunately, the speaker came to our senses.
Let's talk about the debt ceiling now. Speaking of John Boehner, it was at a Republican gathering, I believe, at the Capitol Hill Club, where he stood up one morning earlier this week and simply said that because there wasn't a consensus in the conference on how to restore veterans' benefits, that he was just going to put up a clean debt ceiling extension, not really allowing for much debate. And later that day, it happened with mostly Democratic support. And then, of course, it happened in the Senate later in the week as well. What's your take on how all that all went down this week?
Well, unfortunately, we gave the president everything he wanted without a fight. And Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi rightfully was saying that Democrats had a big win and was trying to tell her group not to gloat over the major win. But the fact is, the executive branch should never have been given just a blank credit card for the next year unless there were some measures on that bill that would have helped save America for the future. I mean, I don't know how they came to the conclusion that they couldn't get 218, because I talked to a number of people who are normally no votes on raising the debt ceiling and proposed a couple of things that they said, ooh, they'd be hard-pressed not to vote yes for that, that they thought they probably would. And these are people that were not whipped or checked by our leadership. So I don't know how they could conclude, nah, we'll never get enough people on anything, so let's just throw in the towel completely. Because they didn't talk to the people that I talked to who are normally no votes, but were open-minded if we got something that would really help America.
So, Congressman, it sounds like, from your perspective, this is very different than the story we're hearing from, I don't know if they're aides to leadership or whatever they are, unnamed sources anyway, who said that whatever the leadership threw out, there was a large enough group of Republicans, and I'm guessing they include you among them, who simply said, under no circumstances are we raising the debt ceiling, not for restoring veterans' benefits, not for Keystone, not for anything, and so that pretty much left the speaker with no choice.
Yeah, and they should get out and talk to real members instead of just talking among themselves. before they make statements like that. Because like I say, I've talked to people who were not whipped, who are normally no on any debt ceiling, who were open to some of the things we talked about.
One of the arguments that we hear oftentimes, especially as it relates to the funding of the government as well as the debt ceiling, is that Republicans are in a position now where you control the House, of course, but don't control the Senate or the White House. And until you have all three, there's not a lot you can do. What do you say to them?
Well, I say that when we had all three, we still didn't do it, and that you cannot get one dime appropriated for anything, including all of the pet projects of the White House, unless the Republicans in the House go along with it. We have the most important half of the legislative branch, and because we haven't been willing to stand up for the Constitution and stand up for an end to this massive deficit spending like never in our history that's going on under this president, the country is hurting. And but I heard similar things back in the first of the year conference that we had in 2006 when we had a Republican president, a Republican House and Senate majority. And we were told at that time, gee, there's a small chance we might lose the majority in November of 2006, so we better just hold up and not do anything. So our plan is we're not going to do anything big. We're going to try to just get through the year without ruffling any feathers. And then January 2007, we'll come back. You know, and I pointed out, look, if you think there's any chance we could lose the majority here in the House, this has to be the year we stand up for what we believe in. Well, that was a minority position, and it sounds like we're going back into that now and say, gee, we have the majority. American public gave it to us because we promised if you give us the majority in the House, we will stand up for America. And now we're making it conditioned on getting the Senate and the White House before we'll stand up for what we believe. The Democrats are certainly standing up for what they believe. Harry Reid certainly stood up for it in his war against children by spending future children's money that we don't even have. But when he last September and October said, no, I'm not negotiating at all. We threw out three compromises. He and the Democrats wouldn't negotiate at all, so they shut down the government with respect for those who really didn't know what was going on, including our speaker. Because we didn't shut down the government, we passed three bills to negotiate, to have extreme compromises. We bent over backwards to accommodate, but they wanted to shut the government down. Well, if we felt as strongly about our principles as Harry Reid does about shutting down the government unless they can keep spending children and grandchildren's money, then I think we would be able to prevail on things that would help America.
A couple minutes left with Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, and let's move on to Obamacare in our last couple minutes, sir. Earlier this week, we saw the president announce another delay, this one for medium-sized businesses between 50 and 99 employees. Couple of questions on this front. First of all, a lot of folks have been talking about his executive actions, unilaterally delaying provisions inside legislation and now statutes enacted by Congress. As a lawyer and a former judge, how egregious or non-egregious has the president been in that area?
Not only is it egregious that someone in the executive branch is legislating, heck, I left the bench to run for Congress so that I could participate in legislation because I knew the judiciary and the executive is not supposed to. But not only is that egregious, but the fact that Congress isn't standing up against that kind of usurpation, shame on the Democrats in the Senate that won't stand up against that. But not only that, but it is also helping business and screwing over middle-class Americans who are going to have to pay for this. And it also points out how dishonest and disingenuous Harry Reid was when he shut down the government because we offered to, we passed a bill that would postpone this in the for all Americans in our compromise, third compromise we offered, and they wouldn't do it. And now we see, oh, yeah, they were willing to do it. They just wanted to shut down the government because they knew the mainstream would blame Republicans. It is really outrageous and offensive that they would have turned down the ability to keep the government going and not be shut down in return for the president doing unilaterally what Congress is supposed to do.
Last question, sir. Another aspect of this for the employers, of course, is at some point it's expected that they'll have to abide by the employer mandate if they have enough employees to qualify for that. Many employers are worried about that, so they're trying to adjust their workforce numbers in a way so that they don't fall under the mandate. We're now hearing from the Treasury Department that there has to be, on the record, under the threat of perjury, a reason given for why those numbers are dropping to the point where those businesses would not be under the mandate, but it can't be Obamacare, and they have to attest to that. What do you make of that story?
Well, it's this president, this executive branch, putting a financial gun to the head of employers and saying you've got to go on under oath and lie, or you're not going to be able to stay in business because Obamacare penalty is going to hurt you so badly. It is really outrageous to force them to make a political statement for the administration in order to get what should be rightfully theirs under the law. There is nothing in the law that says that they can't let employees go to get down to a certain level. That's why so many Republicans were furious. They were going to force people to lay off employees, and now they're going to force them to lie about why they laid them off. I mean, it is just really so wrong, so immoral on so many levels.
Congressman, I know every week's busy for you, but with major issues like these all having major developments this week, I'm guessing this one was particularly busy. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Greg.
Texas Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert represents his state's 1st Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee, and a former judge in the state of Texas as well. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.